This is Diesel. Thank you so much for answering. We're calling because we're a little concerned that you haven't gotten back to us from our 50 previous messages we left talking to you about your car's extended warranty. So if you'd like to stay on the line, one of our agents would be happy to help you with this. In fact, I have an agent now. If you'll please hold, we'll bring on our specialist, Mr. Clooney.
I did that on purpose. That little pause. Yeah. It's the, just to throw you off because that's not how we did it in rehearsal.
No rehearsals. And what would you say, Jerry? How would you sell?
Yeah, I would be. No, I don't even have an idea because I like the thought of being any type of telemarketer, telesalesman. Televangelist, any of that, like that, like it's just, it's, yeah, it's so counter.
Jerry's just all
everything that makes me happy. So,
what about a telenovela? Could you sell us? Could you be part of a telenovela?
I don't even know what that is.
They're like mini soap operas. We could have a mini soap opera about our car's extended warranties. And
that's the Diesel and Clooney sequel telenovela. Yeah,
exactly. It's gonna be beautiful. But you know what, Jerry? Speaking,
tell me.
Speaking of dramatic miniseries, our little dramatic miniseries here on the podcast has taken an exciting turn because with us right now are two absolute legends in our field.
Yes.
Legends.
The cast just grew exponentially, doubled today.
Doubled. We've doubled.
Yeah, first time on Diesel and Clooney. We had two guests with us. Very excited about that. Tell us more, Chris.
Oh, well, joining us right now, I have to say, are two people that I greatly admire. Two people I've been able to work with on various endeavors. We've brought up FIGT before. I think we've talked about TCK training before. And now, right before you and I's eyes, but all of our listeners' ears, right before their ears, mm-hmm. I am proud to introduce Lauren Wells and Tanya Crossman, who have taken time out of their busy schedules in order to hang out with us for a while and sell some extended warranties.
Yes, that is why we're here.
Oh, thank goodness. Thank goodness. We really are. We're so grateful to have you. We'll start with Tanya's leftmost on my screen. So we'll start with Tanya. Tanya, tell us where you're joining us from today.
I am joining you from my parents' house in Canberra, Australia.
Ooh.
One of the best places to be at your parents' house. Like that.
Yeah, for a couple weeks, but we're at about 2.5 years now. It's getting a little old. Mm-hmm.
I have heard that story so much over the last 2.5 years.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah. You're not alone. You're not alone. Even though you'd like to be, maybe. You are not alone.
I have no idea.
It has been a trend that we had since the pandemic. Definitely a bit of a trend. And Lauren, where are you joining us from?
I am in North Georgia, just south of Chattanooga, Tennessee.
Ooh, which, my gosh,
beautiful area.
And I love that. I love that word. I love the word Chattanooga. Just love it. It really is. Oh, it really is.
It's a good.
You need excuses to say it all the time.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I do need excuses to say. I'll come up with them. I'll start giving all of my directions with reference to Chattanooga. I'm on the U.S. West Coast right now, so I'm just gonna be like, well, it's 2,500 miles west of Chattanooga, and that's gonna be super helpful for people.
It's one of those places that's just kind of famous only because the way it sounds, right? Like that's it.
Timbuktu.
Yeah. Kalamazoo. Oh, I went to Kalamazoo last month, first time.
Oh, man.
I have always wanted to go there. Albuquerque, I think, would be neat.
Just to say that you've been there?
Yeah. No, but I sure do say I've been there now. I tell everyone.
I sure do say it. Now, besides our expertise, obviously, in warranty sales, mm-hmm. both of our guests have produced highly influential books. I want to give them each a chance to tell us about them because I'm a big fan of both books. They're They're both books that I recommend. Actually, there's so much books and so much writing and so much goodness. In fact, we're going to focus a little today on some research that has recently been done. But I wanted to give you both a chance. Tell us a little bit about your published writing so that our readers. Yeah. readers who happen to be listening.
Yeah.
They're multi-talented, our audience. Multi-talented. They can read and listen. I can't do that all at once. I do try sometimes. It's a terrible endeavor. Terrible endeavor. But yeah, why don't you tell us a little bit about the work that you have contributed in literary form to the TCK, Expat, Global Nomad. What other words can we have a lot of words in this particular field, but in this field, bring forth your goodness.
Well, how about I go first? Because my book was published first. So my book is Misunderstood, The Impact of Growing Up Overseas in the 21st Century. It's a book that is speaking from and about the perspective of people who grew up outside their passport country, looks at lots of different demographics, lots of different sectors, has some original research, but most importantly, it's full of stories. I love stories.
Mm-hmm. And we do too.
I know.
What are the chances?
Oh my gosh, what an Australian thing to say. Every time I hear it, I hear my husband mimicking it back to me. I know. it's full of stories from nearly 300 TCKs I interviewed talking about their experiences. And some of the best feedback I get is adult TCKs reading it and going, oh, someone felt the same way as me. And there's such comfort in knowing you're not the only one. So, yeah, that's a big part of why I do what I do.
Oh, so good. And we're grateful.
Yeah, and I'm curious. I think our listeners are curious, like, what out of that book, what happened? Like, what happened to you, for you, for the TCKs? That you work with, that you know, like, what's the impact been?
I remember when it first came out, having no idea what, if anything, it would do. Would only people I knew read it? But within the first month it was published, I got an email. I'm not entirely sure even where she found my email. I guess it's in the book. But she, a teenage TCK living in Central Asia, wrote to me and said, you know, my family was evacuated from a country that I was living in 8 years ago when I was 8 years old. This is the first time since then I felt someone understood me. Mm-hmm. And I read that and I sat with that and I thought, for this one person, this book is worth it. Mm-hmm. And I've had that same thought over and over and over, that for this one person, all of this work was worth it. There's been so many individual stories that I've heard of people who, having someone put their own thoughts into words matters, because often it's really hard to articulate what's different about your experience when you have no other experience to compare it to. Right. So to be able to explain to the people that you love but who are misunderstanding you what's going on is really difficult. Mm. And to feel like you're the only one going through this when there's no one around you who can speak into that experience can leave you feeling really isolated. Mm-hmm. And so it's been, 5-6 years now since the book came out, and I'm still getting emails every month or so from people who are reading it for the first time and having that experience.
Yeah.
And I just, for me, that, forget anything that's happened for me for my career, that for me is what's most important. It's people who are knowing they are not alone, that there is hope for them or for their children, that there is a way forward, that things make sense, that they make sense in context, their children make sense in context. That for me is the most important piece of all of it. Mm. I mean, it did completely change my life too, but to me, that's way less important. Mm.
It's so good to hear. It's so good to hear. It is. It's a book that I recommend pretty frequently because it does just what you said. It forms connection. It helps people. I'm a big fan of the concept of giving people language and framework for their experiences, and I think you've accomplished that brilliantly. So on behalf of everybody, thank you. Thank you.
Chris often speaks for everyone in the world.
I do. I'm the self-appointed on behalf of everyone.
On behalf of everyone.
Because that doesn't cause problems. That doesn't cause problems at all. Ooh, Nelly. Quickly. Lauren, tell us of your books. Tell us of your writings.
Yes. Well, I just want to say, too, that I was one of those people that emailed Tanya a little bit after the book came out. I remember hearing it was going to come out and anxiously awaiting it and then reading it and being so thrilled that there was new research finally taking place, and that there were some things from an adult TCK perspective in that book, because it felt up until that point like so much was written about young TCKs, but I was in my 20s, and so I was very excited to read her book. So I remember sending her an email and thinking, one day maybe I will meet the Tanya Crossman. and now we work together, so that's fantastic.
How cool is that?
I have written books. It is a habit of mine that I can't seem to stop, even when I need to sometimes.
There are much worse habits. Yeah,
this is very true.
You're not
this
in bed. Very true.
Especially when they're good books.
I mean, as far as habits go, that's right up
as
there.
As far as habits go, it's not a terrible one. Yeah. So the first book that I wrote was Raising Up a Generation of Healthy Third Culture Kids. And I don't know that, Jerry, you even know this, but you were the first person to encourage me to write a book. And at that point in my life, I thought, I can't write a book until I have at least a PhD, like at least one of them, because nobody's going to listen to what this person has to say. And at FIGT in Thailand, you said, wait, you're the one blogging about prevention for TCKs. You should write a book that on that.
Oh, Jerry the Catalyst.
Well, Jerry the Catalyst.
Happy to take full credit for everything you've done.
All the credit that makes me to you. So happy. It's come full circle to this moment right here.
Love it.
Yeah, so I started writing that book on the way home from that conference on paper on the airplane. My purpose for that book was to create a really simple, practical, easy to read book for parents raising TCKs and caregivers caring for TCKs that would look from a prevention angle. So how do we, with many of the things that Tanya brought up in her book with adult TCKs, how do we come at that now as a parent taking a four-year-old to live in a different country and be preventive about that? If we know they struggle to feel emotionally connected to themselves, how do we instill that when they're really young? That was my purpose for writing the book. I also, at the time, was a parent of little children and knew that a lot of the literature, while it's fantastic in the TCK care world, was really heavy and really academic in some ways. And I remember thinking, I'm in this field trying to work in this field, and even with this as my job, I'm having a hard time getting through all of this literature with little kids. If I was trying to get on a plane with them and move to a different country, this would be really challenging to try to absorb. And so that was the other purpose of it, was to create a resource that was easier for parents of young kids, especially in the throes of transition, to be able to digest pretty easily. And then I wrote in that book about the concept of the grief tower and how TCK grief stacks up. And I did not think that that was much of anything except a sentence. And all of a sudden, I had so many people asking for more information about the grief tower, to which I said, I need to create that information, because that actually didn't go any farther than the sentence that was in the book. So I started writing a pamphlet about the grief tower, and then I kept having to add more things. And so then it kept growing into like bigger than a pamphlet, and then it just turned into its own book. So the grief tower concept came out in a book form.
A bit like how my book started.
Yeah. Well, you start explaining things and think there's so much more to explain than what I can fit in this pamphlet. Yeah. So then the grief tower came out, and then Unstacking Your Grief Tower came out after that.
Mm. Can you unpack that concept just a little bit? What's a grief tower? What do you mean by that? And how do you unstack it?
That is a great question. And this ties really well. Leave enough
for them to want to buy the book. We want everyone to buy the book. But just give us a little teaser.
Yeah. Give us directions to the Grief Tower, but use Chattanooga as your reference point.
So there's this rock in my backyard.
I love it.
So the idea of the Grief Tower, and this ties really well into our research, which I know we're going to talk about in this time. But the purpose of the Grief Tower concept is to illustrate how grief for TCKs stacks up. And it's not necessarily one big thing. It's a lot of little things that happen. It's all the goodbyes. It's all of the school changes, all of the times that they maybe had a difficult situation with an evacuation or a friend moving away, things like that, that we know show up in the lives of TCKs. And one of the things that we talk about a lot at TCK training, and I talk about in the book, is that we need to be intentional about unstacking it along the way. Mm-hmm. Because if we don't, then eventually that tower will crash because our bodies aren't designed to handle all of that stress from our developmental years into our adulthood. And so one of the ways that that really correlates with what I did with Tanya with our research in the last couple of years is figuring out what are those things that tend to be on TCK's grief towers. And knowing that helps us to then figure out how we help unstack those.
Brilliant. Yeah.
That's such a good segue, which basically removes the whole need for me to be here. Because
I was going to say, this one's way too easy for you, yeah, Chris.
Like, my sole job here is just to provide segues. But
take us from Chattanooga into the next one. Yeah. Let's go back to Chattanooga.
So speaking of Chattanooga. If you, that one might be beyond my abilities.
Watch this. Watch how his brain works.
I believe in you.
Chris, you're doing it all wrong. Yes,
you're doing it wrong. Sorry. You're right.
Start with, you know, Jerry, it'll all come. It'll all happen.
Yeah. It will. That is all right. I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it, Jerry. You know, Jerry, speaking of Chattanooga, sometimes you drive a long way, maybe to see a tower. And what you need in order to help you with that, you're hoping that someone's got an accurate map. You're hoping that if you're trying to drive from your home to Chattanooga to see a tower and hopefully help dismantle it before it crashes, that someone has put together an accurate map. And maps require research. And you know what, Jerry? This is a double segue. You know what, Jerry? I think our guests, not only have they put a lot out into the world already, but there's new research that they put out. We could spend a whole podcast just talking about their previous books, but really, we're here for the new. We're cutting edge here at Diesel and Clooney.
Cutting edge. Chattanooga Tower.
Much like the Chattanooga Tower, we are cutting edge. So I would love to hear you guys talk about the research that you have spent so much time and effort on and have recently put out there. And I do just want to say it has been an absolute delight to get to see snippets of this research make the rounds on a lot of the groups and in a lot of the places that I look and listen to influential people. I'm seeing this research out there and it absolutely thrills me. So we want to hear from you. What have you been researching? What made you decide that research needed to be done? And we can go from there. Tell us of what you've brought out into the world.
Yeah, well, this research has been on my mind and heart for a very long time. My background is in child development and specifically prevention science and looking at how we can be preventive in the ways that we're caring for children. And something that gets talked about a lot in prevention science are ACE scores, adverse childhood experience scores, and then various developmental traumas, and how those manifest in adulthood if they're not cared for well or prevented. And I remember in university and shortly after wondering what that looks like for TCKs and realizing that so many of my ACE scores and so many of my developmental traumas were directly related to my TCK upbringing and really nothing else. It was because of that experience that a lot of those things took place. And so I had planned to go forth and get my PhD in Oregon and had a university that had approved that and approved the research on ACE scores and TCKs. And then, as fate would have it, Jerry said, write a book, and I did that instead. And always in the back of my mind kept thinking, but I still think that research needs to be done. I still think we need to have some data around this concept, because we're saying these things anecdotally and everyone in the field is nodding and saying, yeah, these things are happening, but we don't have any data on it because it's never been researched. So that had been on my mind. I wrote my book, started TCK training, and shortly thereafter contacted Tanya, knowing that she is a phenomenal researcher and probably had a lot to bring to the table as far as just methodology and knowing how to do research well. One thing that I am really big on, and Tanya and everyone on the TCK training team will tell you this, is making sure that everything is done really high quality. I don't want to skimp. I want things to be done really well. And so I thought Tanya would be influential in helping research to be done well. And I was more than impressed. What we have done could not have been done in a high quality fashion without Tanya. So I'll let her take it over and tell you more about it.
That is Lauren's really sweet, lovely way of saying that I kept going, no, we need to do this and this and this and this. And that little project you're thinking about, no, we need to think bigger. Pretty much that was the conversation over and over again. It was me going, no more, no more, no more.
No, we need to test it again. There has to be a beta test and a gamma test.
Like, oh, okay. Yeah, I forgot about that. Yeah, we did do that.
It was great.
And because in part, I knew that this was going to be big. I know our field. I know how important this data is to so many people in our field, which means that anything that we created was going to get a lot of scrutiny. So everything that we did had to be above reproach. We had to be very careful in our methodology. We had to make sure that we were listening to other voices from different sectors about how things were being received. So we went through a very long process where we were getting input from different people in different parts of the international world, changing the wording of questions, adding questions and things like that. So we started with the sort of 10 general ACE questions, added some additional developmental trauma questions where we thought, here are some other things we think TCKs are probably experiencing, let's see. And then, started from there with the input we got from other researchers and educators and psychologists and anyone else that we could rope into helping us out. Mm. So we launched it June 2021. We had it open for 6 months, got 2,000 responses, more. And after we pruned it down, we had 1,904 responses in our final data set of adult TCKs from all different demographics telling us about their experiences of developmental trauma and their ACE factors, so we could determine their ACE scores.
I think it's such a good, that number thrills me to pieces, because one of the things I commonly run into is that, and you said it well already, there's a lot of, you know, anecdotal information. There's a lot of things that we sort of have picked up intuitively in the field. But I think it can be really, really hard to grab the hard data behind it, just because third culture kids by their very nature can be hard to grab, that once they leave the captivity of the international school system or the whatever it is that, you know, brought them, once they're released into the wild, they by their very nature tend to be trying to blend in. And so it's not like you can, you know, just run around and spot them and go, "Ooh, you're a TCK, let me ask you some questions." And so it can be a difficult demographic to pin down and get hard research for. And so the fact that you were able to pull, you know, something just under, you know, 2,000 to back this up, I think is such a phenomenal contribution. And it creates a sort of a framework that so many other things can be built off of. And it creates viability for, again, a load of things that maybe collectively we had all thought about intuitively. And now there's intellectual backing for it as well. And I'm so excited that it's out there. And we'll make sure and put, before I forget, because I'll just get all excited and forget about things, but we'll make sure and, you know, get links from you that we can put so that people can find where they can read more about this, because it's phenomenally insightful stuff. I mean, insightful.
I think what excites me the most about this is everything you just said on the front end, because both of you have written works before that do that thing where, like, it connects with people, right? Like, that's the beauty of the work that you've done, is that it speaks to people on their level. And you're absolutely right, Lauren, like, so much of the work that has been put into this, I think actually you nailed it without even trying to nail it. Like, there is so much research-based stuff, right? There, like, TCKs have been researched. There are TCK research networks, and there's it, but so much of that material is, like you mentioned, it's hard to read when you're in the middle of transition. It's hard to read when you've got small children. It's fascinating if you're a TCK nerd like Chris and I, right? Like, and there are a lot of TCK nerds that just love that stuff. But like on an everyday connect with me level, it doesn't. And this is not to badmouth any of that research. It's great. But I think the two of you just have this special something that's going to be able to take hard numbers and raw data, or data, however you want to pronounce it, and then push it out there in a way that it will connect to the other side of the TCKosphere, because you've got hard research on one side, and then you've got the anecdotal memes on the other side, and those connect, and the research connects with some people. But in between that, it's like, how do we bring these two worlds together and really connect with people? Is that how you see it?
Absolutely. Oh, so you have nailed it.
Because there's no point in having the information if people who are in the middle of it aren't able to access it. Accessibility of this information is really important to us. It's why we're making the paper free to download for anybody. It's why we're appearing on podcasts and writing blog posts, because we want people who don't have time to read the full paper to have other ways that they can connect with this data as well.
Yeah, so good.
So with all that, I'm interested to know, what's something that surprised you out of the research? Because you were dedicated. You probably went in, again, we had a load of intuitive things. I like how Jerry put it, the anecdotal memes. There's lots of that. So you probably had, you know, some expectations and things like that. But what's something that came out of it that really surprised you or jumped out at you that was a bit unexpected?
I think the best answer I can give is that while we were expecting the A scores to be a bit higher in TCKs, and we did see that, what surprised me the most was how big the impact of high mobility was for TCKs who had moved house or moved location 10 or more times, or moved house 15 or more times. Their A score, like, so an A score of 4 or higher is considered high risk for a lot of things. And the percentage of TCKs with that was about a third for those who experienced high mobility. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the biggest study of US adults, that percentage is 12.5%. Wow. Amongst high mobility TCKs, it was 32% and 33%.
Wow. Yeah, that's worth paying attention to, which kind of begs the question, you know, with that out there, what would you hope happens as a result of A, this information being, you know, collated and gathered and done high quality and done well, so it's reliable and foundational, and it brings some validity to, you know, things we've known intuitively. So with that out there now, having accomplished that mission so very well, what do you hope comes from it? What do you hope are going to be the next steps?
Yeah, one thing that we've been saying a lot is that we want this to be a catalyst for evidence-based TCK care, which is a fancy way of saying practical care for TCKs that's backed by numbers. And we want parents to be able to use this information not as a way to scare anybody. That's something that we're really careful about, is we never want to use this to be fear-inducing, but we want to use it to put the caution out there and put the risks out there and say, when you know the risks, you would hopefully then put in some practical measures in order to mitigate those risks as best you can. And so we want to continue to put those practical methods out there. We also hope that organizations and companies and those who are creating TCKs, essentially sending families out to grow TCKs abroad, that they will take TCK care seriously. Really seeing from the data that it's not something that is going to just happen organically, but that it's something that needs to be really strategic and really intentional. I think TCKs, and we all know this here, but TCKs can be some of the most amazing leaders, can probably lead those types of organizations really fantastically, and companies that are globally mobile. But if we burn those bridges by not caring well for them while they're going through that experience, that ends up being really, really sad and a loss for everyone. So we hope that this produces that evidence-based care.
Yeah, we're definitely taking a long-term view here, right? That it's not just about today. It's about 10 years and 20 years from now, and how what we do now can have a lasting impact. And when we look at preventive care that works, and we talk about the HOPE framework and PACES research, really the things that are suggested that families and communities do are quite simple things. They just need to be intentionally put in place. And that intentionality is what we want to see growing in not just families, but communities, and especially those organizations and companies that are responsible for sending and receiving globally mobile families.
Yeah. Can you say more about that? Because I feel like if I'm on the tail end of a fabulous cross-cultural experience, or maybe in the middle, I don't know. We'll see. But I've got one child going off to college soon, one who's 12 years old. They've had amazing experiences and a lot of grief. Like they've got their own grief towers. There have been a lot of challenges. But I'm thinking, if I'm the parent who is just about to do this, right? Especially I think if I'm not an adult TCK myself, if I'm a monoculture, if I grew up like I grew up, and I'm about to take my kids abroad, and I hear numbers like that, I'm a little scared. Like, and even saying, we don't want to scare you here, but it's like, all I'm going to process are those numbers. But then there's some hopeful thoughts in there that you're dropping in there about, actually now you're armed, you're equipped, you're prepared to put these preventive measures in place. At a high level, what do you think are some of those most significant preventative measures?
Before Lauren gives you, because she's the queen of preventive care, before she gives you the really practical stuff, let me give you the hopeful number. One of the ones that cited in the paper is that if a kid with high ACEs also has a high number of these preventive measures in place, their risk of mental illness, depression drops 72%.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, that there is
a concrete risk prevention measure here. It's not just a let's hope. We have
okay. Now I want to take my kids abroad again.
Yeah, that shows I'm that back. We can do better.
Yeah, and some of those things that we see are prevention methods, and that research has shown our prevention methods are what are called PACES, positive childhood experiences, and there are 7 of them, and we talk about them in our white paper, and so I won't go into all 7 of them, but they basically are in the categories of internal within your home and external outside your home. And so there are things that you can control within your home, like making sure that kids feel like they are allowed to talk about all of their emotions, the good ones and the hard ones, and that those are received well, feeling like they're safe in their home. They found that kids who go to sleep at night feeling like they're not safe are at high risk for developing these traumas and ACE scores. And as far as outside the home, just a couple examples are belonging in a multi-generational group who you know and love, and they know and love you, and a sense of belonging in a peer group. So having peers who you know and love and are supported by. So like I said, there's seven of them, but those are just some examples. And what we see is that those pieces can be maintained in the life of a TCK, but it has to be really intentional. In a normal monocultural setup, it's a lot more likely that that will happen organically through the typical trajectory of a child in their home culture. But for TCKs who are constantly coming and going or having people around them coming and going, we have to be super creative in how we meet those positive childhood experiences. And that's a lot of what we want to be teaching and talking about.
Yeah. Wow.
Well, I think, you know, one of the things that is a trend that I see and even talk about a little bit is the idea that the TCK experience is becoming far more common. And I think for a lot of reasons, for socioeconomic reasons and technological reasons and all kinds of stuff, there's already quite a few things that, as we've said, TCKs have been studied for a while, but there's already quite a few things that were once sort of distinctly reserved for them as far as focus that I think now have validity and traction on a much wider scale. Basically things that TCKs struggle with that I think everybody is now or will soon be struggling with. Mm-hmm. And so I genuinely think that it means a lot of the strengths TCKs have, everybody is going to need to work on and hone. And so in that respect, I kind of feel like this research has validity even outside of the TCK world, because honestly, and it gets quoted all the time, I think it was Ted Ward in the 80s. I very rarely can remember. I shouldn't say this to researchers, but I'm terrible at remembering the names of researchers. I normally just have to gloss over them. Like someone wise once said, which I know your name, so don't worry. Plenty of credit to you guys. But I do. I think it was Ted Ward in the 80s who said, you know, something along the lines of TCKs are the prototype citizens of tomorrow. And right. In the TCK-osphere, we throw that one around a lot because that's an exciting thing. But I think that's coming true very, very quickly. And so, like I said, I think this research has relevance, you know, on a wider scale. Do you see, you know, any evidence of that? Have you noticed any overlaps where you watch the news or you, as you interact, you know, even outside of the TCK-osphere, and you think, ooh, this stuff could actually be helpful for other people as well?
Well, something we've started saying a lot at TCK training is what's good for TCKs is good for everyone.
Ooh.
We've had people approach us wanting to have our resources in non-TCK spaces. So wanting to talk about the Grief Tower for local schools in the US or counseling centers wanting to use that methodology. Mm-hmm. Just because this started in a TCK space doesn't mean it's only for TCKs. Emotional health is for everybody.
Yeah.
Oh, that's good. I mean, that set me up so well, because what I was really trying to say is that, you know, here at Diesel and Clooney, we're basically witnessing the sparks of world change on a vast scale. That here, this episode is the spark of change. The spark that we've been waiting for. The kindling, if you will. Which, speaking of which, we've already established that, you know, Jerry is the catalyst. And I didn't segue that right. Sorry. What I mean to say is, and you know, Jerry, speaking of things that will change the world, we've established that you're quite the catalyst. That you have sparked good things to happen. So what I want to ask of our star researchers is here, since Jerry can make anything happen. What sort of research would you like to see done? Where do you think this needs to go in the future? What else needs to be dug up? What else needs to be brought to bear under high quality scrutiny so that we can do more converting of the intuitive into intellect or moving those anecdotal memes into something more scientifically valid? What else? Where would you like to see that go? Because Jerry will make it happen.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know how Lauren says she sort of keeps writing books? Mm-hmm. I mean to keep writing books. What I actually keep doing is research, because there's so much to learn And, you know, even in the white paper, there's multiple places where we note this area needs more research. This area needs more research. We want other people to read this paper and run with it and see areas that they want to do research because they're going to see things that we don't. We would love to see more research on ACE scores in TCK populations because we'd like to see these replicated, perhaps in more specific circumstances. So something that's less random, some non-random sampling in particular populations, looking at particular kinds of developmental trauma. We sort of just scratched the surface of what's possible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the other thing that we'd really like to research is the rate that those pieces, positive childhood experiences, are being received by TCKs in comparison with their ACE scores, and how that is or is not affecting their ACE scores. And along with that, the creative ways that I'm sure a lot of families have found to implement those pieces mm-hmm. that we can then turn around and encourage other families to use. That would be a wonderful thing to research as well.
Yeah, I mean, that will probably be our next survey is looking at pieces. Mm-hmm. So we've got our ACE research and next we'll do our pieces research.
Ooh, there's so much happening. And speaking of so much happening, again, I'm only here for segues. It's my whole point. That's the only reason I'm useful here.
And switching accents. That's the other reason you're here.
That's great accents, yeah.
This is very true. In fact, we'll switch one up right now just for my own amusement.
Excellent.
But I do think that one of the things that I really like about you two as researchers is that, I mean, Lauren, you created TCK Training, which I think it's just a phenomenal, it's like a clearinghouse of really useful workshops, really useful resources, really useful, all sorts of things. So not only do you have great research that, you know, you and your team have put out, but also, you know, under the umbrella of TCK Training, you have a very practical way of deploying that people mm-hmm. can get a hold of. So, and both of you are such core and key components of that organization, of which I'm a huge fan and mm-hmm. and quite shamelessly will make sure and plug it because it's such a useful and practical thing, which I think is really, really important. I get to sort of wander around and do a lot of really good cross-pollinating. That's actually, mm-hmm. that's really what I do is just cross-pollinate is help connect people with other people's great ideas. And this is such a good, like I said, overarching organization that has so much to offer in it. So Lauren and Tanya, really, I'd love to hear just a bit more about how TCK Training is going, the new and exciting things that are coming up from it, because that's sort of that's the action arm that moves based on all the research you've done. So tell us a wee bit about all the action that's coming up.
Yeah, there's a lot of action. So TCK Training 2 years ago was just me, and now we have a team of 15. So it has grown exponentially. We are doing a lot of direct-to-family work, but a lot of organizational and company trainings as well. One thing that we are moving into is really expanding how we are pushing forth the Grief Tower methodology. As Tanya mentioned, we are starting to hear from local schools as well as international schools, but people who want to be able to use that framework. And so one of the big things coming is that we're going to start writing and creating practitioners' guides for the Grief Tower methodology for schools, for counseling centers, for various audiences to be able to use as a practical tool. We are continuing to do our debriefing, our debrief certifications, our pathways program, all the great things that we've been doing. Now that we have practiced them over the last couple of years, we're going to keep making them better and keep putting out great resources.
So what do you do in your spare time? That's my my question. Like, yeah, what do you do?
Wow. I try to practice what I preach with my own children. which is harder than teaching it,
that's
right?
So much harder than writing.
Oh my word.
Yeah
Yes, there are so many times I have one more emotional one And there are so many times that I tell myself, what would I teach? What would I tell a parent? Mm-hmm. Okay, now do that.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah. Yeah. I've got some of those stories myself. Yeah.
Oh, well, I think I love so much that, first of all, that you guys have contributed the way that you have. As someone who gets to do cross-pollinating, you've basically given me just a great big gallon of nectar in order to sort of spread around. So thank you for the deliciously sweet research network that I get to spread around. Mm-hmm. And the fact that it's, again, followed up with, you know, a fantastic degree of actual practical things through TCK training. I'm thrilled to bits to be able to speak its praises and recommend it very highly. And I think we've had a pretty world changing episode, because, you know,
clearly
everybody will now know, on behalf of everyone, because again, I do speak for everyone. Everyone mm-hmm. will now know about this research, and we've given Jerry tasks as far as what he needs to inspire and catalyze. So really we've not just unpacked it, Jerry, but I think we've also set the trajectory for a kinder, friendlier, more empathetic, peaceful world.
It's beautiful. Yeah. I think you should both go do more research and write more books. There you go. Are you inspired?
That is the plan. Thank you.
We're on it.
Oh, you are already. Okay.
Who knew it was that simple, Jerry? I think, yep. I think you've got the easiest job.
And create here. Memes.
Yes,
create
Jerry.
Some good research based memes.
Oh, man.
Okay, Jerry.
Laura just viscerally reacted to that. She's like, oh, no.
No. Next thing I know, you're going to ask us to make TikTok videos.
No. Not live doing social media.
Right. It is the worst part of all of this.
The first person she hired was someone to take over the social media.
Oh, yeah. I love it.
Yes, I don't blame you. I don't blame you at all.
Yeah. I'm not going to lie. As far as a category of things, I think I could easily get lost in research-backed memes. Like, I just, mm-hmm, if you gave me some sort of channel on pick your service, but some sort of channel that focused exclusively on research-based memes, I'd get lost in that for days. It would ground my productivity to a halt and simultaneously make me incredibly informed. So I think it'd cancel each other out. I think that would actually, I could justify it.
Right.
What are you doing scrolling through memes? No, it's research now. It's research. See?
It's amazing what you can justify as research.
Well, this is so true. Yeah.
And coming from a star researcher, that gives me great hope. That gives me great hope.
Well, I meant more as a writer. Like, oh, look, I need this to help me write the book that I still haven't added any words to in the last month. Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is research. Totally.
Oh, more books. I think I'm excited to hear of the books that are going to come out of this. Oh, thank you both so very much for joining us.
Yeah. Thank you for having us.
Yes, thank you for having us.
I love listening to your podcast. It's going to be weird to be on it when I listen back.
Yeah, this is the most fun podcast I have ever been on. Right? And I've been on quite a few, so you all yes. win so far.
Oh, do you hear that, Jerry?
Yep.
Do you hear that?
Yep. Oh, all I heard is it's not the smartest. It's not the most organized.
It's the one we that I don't think
I've ever
with.
Had to worry about not being able to stop laughing when it's my time to talk before. Like, that's never been a concern on a podcast before. Like, pull it together, Lauren, before they ask a question.
No, you're speaking our language, because I think if you were to have said this is the smartest podcast you've ever been on, one, like, we know it's not. Or the most organized, or any of those things. But when you call us the funnest, I think we hit our target, Chris.
That's
what we set out to do, is just have some fun here. And it's so fun to me when we bring smart people on, smart, fun people, smun people.
If you will.
If you will. that's better than the other way around. Yeah. Just think about it for a minute.
Yep, I'm glad you went with option one.
It is incredibly fun to talk to smart people, as long as they're fun. Yeah.
Well, and you know, Jerry, I think my final takeaway is that so what
too much smiling and laughing.
I know you. I feel like we do need a cool down period after we record an episode.
Right? Yeah.
I feel like in my dream category of researched based memes, I think that compliment that we've just been given, basically, and on behalf of everyone, I'm going to approve this. Basically, we're the audio equivalent of a research based meme. Is what I'm hearing. Mm-hmm. So. That might have to be the podcast new tagline.
That's so good. Yeah. And I just Googled it. 2 out of 3 Diesel and Clooney listeners can also read.
Oh, look at that. Mm-hmm. Look at that. And since 3 is our total, it means mm-hmm. two-thirds.
Two of them. Yeah, one of them's 2 years old.
So they're working on it. Don't worry. They'll be in the mix soon. Be the big suit. Once again, thank you so very much for joining us. We've absolutely loved it. We'll make sure and put links to everything so that people can follow up and get a great big spoonful of that delicious sweet research nectar. Because why not? Lauren's horrified at that image as well.
This is really fun. Watching Lauren squirm.
Exactly. Do join us again next time, all 3 listeners, and we look forward to bringing you more intellectual audio memes. It'll be great.